Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to Passover, Not Eggs and Bunnies. This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war. Good evening, patriots. And tonight is Wednesday, April 24th in the year 2024. Last night we began Passover. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about that, but also juxtapose it with some of the darker elements that go on during this time. We are in a world run by a cult, and it is a satanic cult that has its roots in thousands of years of history. It is a cult that follows the principles of Babylon. It is a cult that brands itself with under religious titles to hide in plain sight. It's a cult that infiltrates into our system and proclaims itself to be things it's not, all the while seeking to do one particular thing, to destroy everything Christian and to subdue the rest of the world to its satanic ways. This cult roots itself in a region known as Carceria, which is very close to the regions of Ukraine. Its ties take it back to an area of the Viking era. They're very ruthless people that will connive, cheat, steal, manipulate, that worship money and power in this world in which we live, and will do everything they can to subvert and destroy that which is truly of God. They hate God's children. They hate what God represents, and they see themselves as the true inheritors of the earth, while they see the rest of the world as goyim. Goyim are known in the simple translation as cattle. Why this relates to what we're doing now, what we're going to discuss in terms of Passover, is because it relates to everything Passover. It's the overlay to try to make it seem as if there is a one particular elite group of people and that everyone else is not grafted in, but rather is submissive to them. Passover is a very powerful time, but in the mainstream of the times, promoted by this very cult, has become the overlay, which we call Easter. Easter is not of God. Easter is the worship of the moon goddess. It has to do with fertility, the pagan ways of old, and all the things that they, the Khazarian world, used to worship. Now we are led to do the same thing, and in the process we overlook one of the most critical and important days of our time and periods of our time, which is the honoring of God and all that Passover represented. But this is our world, and it's one which we have to have the courage to speak up against and the courage to change. Because Passover is the true sense of the reminder of Elohim, the great power of our God, Yahweh, who overcame and led Moses to lead his people out from underneath this darkness of cult and worship, and to truly bring the plagues and the final plague to deliver people from its grip and to lead them into a promised land. That part of the story is so essential, but once it gets hijacked in later years, particularly in the modern times and with the reintroduction of things like the Scofield Bible, what we see is an overlay of a worship of a particular people that we call Jews that are not as what they are said to be. In fact, in a recent study by John Hopkins, a DNA study, 98% of those that call themselves Jewish have no ties to the Hebrew origins. Yet over 89% of the Palestinians do have blood ties in DNA that take them back to the Hebrew origins. These are the sorts of inversions that we live in, as this Khazarian mafia has literally is working overtime to lead the world into its own self-destruction. And it's one that we have to be vigilant about and vigilant against, because we are truly the sons of the Most High. We represent a powerful and great people that a very large body of parasites want to destroy and remove. And they want to do it with us complying to their wills and their ways so that they could lead us to the altar of destruction, and they can claim that we did it by our own hand. This is the place we are at, and this is a time now to honor truly what we are given in Passover, remind ourselves of all that there is about that, and to stand up against this evil. To be very clear, and I will be clear, the wording when we talk about the Khazarian Mafia and the Zionists, it is a cult. It does not represent God's children. It does not represent the Hebrew origins. It does not represent the Israelites of the Bible. It represents a cult that took the brand and name of the Jewish faith. As they were given that choice after nearly being destroyed by the Tsar, and in so doing, that cult rose to power and used its conniving ways to infiltrate and unite with other mafioso groups to then assume a power in the world, to pass the legislation, to do the destructive deeds, and to create that in themselves by law an untouchable class of people. They have used the most common means of control is blackmail. The most common means of control and vehicles of that are children. And they see their right to do anything they want with children and use that tool to control politicians in entire countries. They are parasites. They live within each country. They don't consolidate to make their own because they tie themselves closely to those in power. They change the laws and the rules, and they ultimately subdue countries through passive means. These people are destructive. They are like every other parasite. A parasite is destructive to the organism of the main body. And in the end, if it is not treated, the main body will die. And so that is something that we must face in this day and be reminded of Passover in a greater way of what God did to deliver the Israelites from that control of the same type of mentality that is trying to control us today. It's a beautiful day to remember. It's also a beautiful day to be reminded of the power of our God and the ability to overcome what seems to be the impossible. Patriots, before we get going tonight, I want to remind you that we have gone through in a very difficult and dark time. And that time has everything to do with the COVID that we went through and the ensuing vax. Honestly, the more that we learn about the COVID and con and vaccines, the worse it gets and the darker it gets. We continue to discover that what was done here was truly of evil. It was a process of lies, coercion, and at points force, and definitely driven by fear. And it's all the tools of darkness of the same people that we've started to talk about tonight, the Khazarian Mafia and its all of its tendrils. There were many people that stood against the shots. Unfortunately, they've been exposed as well to the shedding of the spike protein, which is causing complications in their health systems. Now there is a product that's out, and it's something that's helped remove those toxins, and it's brought to you by Warrior Essentials. Warrior Essentials has delivered this product. It's a patent-pending formula that works with the power of the body to help the body restore itself to its perfection. Now, I need to add this because it's critical to understand that this product we're talking about is not FDA approved. That's the same FDA that brought you the vaccines that brought us autism, the same vaccines that were injected in people in the through the emergency use authorization that is now causing millions to drop dead or to suffer illness and consequences. Nonetheless, be aware that this product was not FDA approved. You can choose whatever that means for you. Right now, this concept of what they deliver comes in three. It's a three-stage formula. The first is remove the toxins. The second is repair circulatory health. And the third is to restore the epigenome. And honestly, there's nothing like it anywhere on the market. So they have a very special offer for Bars Nation. And all you have to do is to go to recoverwithbards.com. Recoverwithbards.com. You'll save up to 50%. Off the regular prices, plus you'll get free shipping. Help get your body rid of these spiked proteins and the toxins. Help your body restore itself. It's powerful. So again, head over to recoverwithbards.com. Recoverwithbards.com. Get up to 50% off regular prices and free shipping. You can find all those links below the podcast. I want to begin tonight with just a brief discussion, and it's from a piece that I came across today on the Passover, which is powerful. And it's just a commentary on some of what I began with tonight, which was the origins of what Passover is and how we celebrate it and how we miss Passover because of Easter. Take a listen.
We are at one of the most hypocritical times in the world, a time where many self-declared Christians, those that say they believe in and live for Jesus, this is a time when they celebrate the false pagan tradition of Easter, a tradition that the Bible does not call us to celebrate, a time that is not biblically calculated, but calculated by the cycles of the moon, a time that is actually a celebration of the pagan moon goddess. And the worst part is, while they celebrate this, they actually ignore a time that the Bible actually calls us to remember, a time that is extremely significant for so many reasons, a time that actually celebrates the true Elohim of the Bible and our Savior, Yeshua the Messiah, a time we know as the Passover. It's extremely hypocritical because this is a time where the Bible expressly tells us to remember always and celebrate, while Easter is not mentioned at all, except incorrectly in some versions in Acts, in place of Passover. But it's celebrated by a majority of those that declare that they follow in and believe in Yeshua.
It's important to realize that the hijacking of Passover is intentional, not accidental, and it's been done to pollute our relationship and once again to diminish our connection with God. Passover is a powerful time, and it begins ultimately where we are with Exodus 11, which is the last plague. And this, I'm going to read this. This is NASB 1995. Now the Lord said to Moses, "One more plague I will bring on the Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here. Where he lets you go, he will surely drive you out from here completely. Speak now in the hearing of the people that each man ask from his neighbor and each woman from her neighbor for articles of silver and articles of gold. The Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Furthermore, the man Moses himself was greatly esteemed in the land of Egypt, both in the sight of the Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. Moses said, 'Thus says the Lord, about midnight I am going out into the midst of Egypt, and all of the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn to the Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the millstones. All of the firstborn of the cattle as well. Moreover, there shall be a great cry out all in the land of Egypt, such as there has not been before and such as there never will be again. But against any of the sons of Israel, a dog will not even bark, wherever against a man or a beast, that you may understand how the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. All these your servants will come down to me and bow themselves before me, saying, "Go out, you and all the people who follow you." And after that, I will go out. And he went out from the Pharaoh in hot anger. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Pharaoh will not listen to you, so that my wonders will be multiplied in the land of Egypt." Moses and Aaron performed all of these wonders before Pharaoh. Yet the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not even let the sons of Israel go out of his land. It's an interesting discussion when he says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. This reminds me of Romans 1:18-32 that I've read here many times, which is the idea of letting people live into their sins, the idea of the reprobate mind. And God has let them go astray because they choose to worship the creature rather than the creator. And we are in a situation like that here. But in Passover, the powerful thing to remember is God told them how to mark their homes so that they would not be subject to the plague. So now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this is Exodus 12, "The month shall be at the beginning of the months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregations of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves, according to their father's households, a lamb for each household. Now, if the household is too small for a lamb, and then he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of persons in them, according to what each man should eat, you are to divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel to kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts and on the lintel of the house in which they eat it. This they shall eat the flesh the same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled at all with water, but rather roasted with fire, both its head and its legs along with entrails. And you shall not leave any of it over until morning, but moreover is left of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. Now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For it will go through the land of Egypt at that night, and will strike down all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both men and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on your houses where you are and where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. And so they did. They placed, obviously, the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and the lintels of the door. And there they were marked, and there they were protected by the might of the Lord that was to come. We forget in this time the power of our living God. We lack the fear of the power of our living God. And yet Passover reminds us of the mightiness of our God, a mightiness of literally of sending in Moses, who was able to see the Pharaoh, where Moses then trusted in the Lord, and Lord delivered the miracles through his staff to overcome all of those things that the Pharaoh's sorcerers were trying to do. They brought the plagues, and this was the final plague. This was the final punishment, in which the Pharaoh's heart, who had been hardened, would now be left with no choice but to let the people go. We continue. Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord throughout the year, your generations. You are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, but on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats anything leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall have a holy assembly, and another holy assembly on the seventh day. No work at all shall be done on them, except what must be eaten by every person, that alone may be prepared for you. You shall also observe the feast of the unleavened bread, for on this very day I brought you hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a permanent ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses. For whoever eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. Whatever he is, an alien or native of the land, you shall not eat anything leavened. In your dwellings you shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for the elders of Israel and said to them, go and take for yourselves lambs according to your families, and slay the Passover lamb. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin, and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and to the doorposts, and none of you shall go outside the door of the house until morning. And so it was done. It's interesting in the reflection of this, and how strict these statements are. And I would argue, and I'm including myself in this, we don't practice this. And yet so much of the practice in our culture has become that of the pagan rituals of painting eggs. And the painting of eggs, by the way, is really an atrocious concept. It's a concept of the women that were forced to be into pregnancy the previous season, and then the children that they bared were then killed and sacrificed, and the eggs represent were painted in their blood. That's the origins of painting the eggs and of Easter. So Easter is represents the darkest of the occult, and in the true sense of what it, they tried to get us to do, they tried to get us to practice their rituals so that we're in disobedience with God. This is a very dark cult that we're dealing with, and it has infected so many of our days and so many of our celebrations that we are now having to recalibrate dramatically and seriously in order to keep ourselves in alignment with as God has spoken. And while, yes, we are forgiven through the sacrifice of Christ for our sins through the acceptance of Him, the challenge that we have now is the practice of our daily. And we see the way that the churches have fallen to such a degree that the church itself has become weak. It's a sad statement, but it's true. That the churches have given in too much to the Easter traditions rather than the Passover traditions. How many churches do you know that roast lamb over a fire and only eat unleavened bread and speak to that as what the congregations should do? Because it's a biblical thing rather than having Easter egg hunts and Easter egg painting things. This is bringing the occult practice into the temple of God, and it's truly wrong. So, and I will be open. I mean, this is something, as I've read through this today, I realize myself how I don't practice this, and I will for the remainder of Passover, and I will starting next year. We will do a very formal issue about shifting. I even have lamb in my freezer, which is crazy, and I haven't had lamb before, but this year I have lamb, and so that will be a practice going forward for myself, and I make that commitment here openly today that I will practice the fullness of what Passover is in the coming years. Because I think it's a definitive and necessary break from the rituals of the occult and the pagan that have so much infected our world. For the Lord, this goes on now. We continue on at Exodus 12:23. For the Lord will pass through this to smite the Egyptians, and when He sees the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come in to your house to smite you, and you shall observe these events as an ordinance for you and your children's forever. Your children forever. When you enter the land which the Lord will give you, He has promised you, you shall observe this rite. And when your children say to you, "What does this rite mean to you?" you shall say, "It is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when He smote the Egyptians, but spared our homes." And the people bowed low and worshipped. Amen. Then the sons of Israel went to and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. Now it came about midnight that the Lord struck the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of the Pharaoh who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, to the firstborn of the cattle. Pharaoh arose in the night, and he and his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, and there was no home that was not that there was no home where there was not someone dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron at night and said, "Rise up, get out from among my people, both you and the sons of Israel, and go. Worship the Lord as you have said. Take both your flocks and your herds as you have said, and go and bless me also." Little bit of a panic moment. Didn't listen to God. God reminded him of who was God. Exodus of Israel. Beginning in Exodus 12:33, the Egyptians urged the people to send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We will be dead." So the people took their dough before them. It was leavened, and with the kneading bowls bound in their clothes on their shoulders. Now the sons of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, for they all had requested from Egyptians articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have their request. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Now the sons of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, both 600,000 men on foot, aside from children. A mixed multiple also went up
with them, along with flocks of and herds, a very large number of livestock. They baked the dough which they had brought out of Egypt in cakes of unleavened bread, and it had not become leavened since they were driven out of Egypt and could not delay, nor had they prepared any provisions for themselves. Now the time that the sons of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. And at the end of 430 years, to the very day, all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Long time. A long time for a society to live there. And the problem that we face that goes forward here, as we know, is that it took so long in the desert because it took, as scholars have openly said, two generations equivalent to break the slave mindset that had been so indoctrinated in them. And we see that in the coming stories of their return to their worship practices, like when Moses comes off of Mount Sinai, the rebuilding of the golden calf, these sort of pagan practices or the practices of worship of Baal or Moloch or Baal were restored many times because of their lack of faith or understanding of what God is, nor their true belief in the miracle that had happened to set them free. And so now we close with Exodus 12, beginning at 42. It is a night to be observed for the Lord for having brought them out from the land of Egypt. This is the night for the Lord to be observed by the sons of Israel throughout their generations. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "This is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner is to eat of it, but every man's slave purchased with money after you have circumcised him, then he may eat it. A sojourner or a hired servant shall not eat of it. It is to be eaten in a single house. You are not to bring forth any of the flesh outside of the house, nor are you to break any bone of it. All the congregation of Israel are to celebrate this. But if a stranger sojourns with you and celebrates the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near to celebrate it, and shall be like a native of the land. But no uncircumcised person may eat of it. The same law shall apply to the native as well as the stranger who sojourns among you." Then all of the sons of Israel did so. They did just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. And on that day, the Lord brought the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their hosts. We live in a time right now, we literally live in a slave state, a surveillance state or a slave state. And we're all ultimately some subject of slaves to this monetary system. It's a time when we're also seeing clearly where those slave masters are. There is a series that I would recommend that you watch. And Nikki has posted it on our social media, and it's available on BitChute. It's called The Architect Part 1 and also The Architect Part 2. This is a phenomenal series, two-part series, that is, it can also be found on BitChute as Part 1 and 2 together, not separate videos. And it gets into the Khazarians. It gets into the depth of the corruption of how this mafia has taken power. And it gives you truly a glimpse at the illusion of these religious people that are supposed to be the chosen ones, that are truly the ones that are behind the instruments of destruction, the ones that are destroying children, the ones that are promoting the transgender concepts. All of this is being done in such a way to be stealth and yet be hidden in plain sight. And it's a despicable, despicable issue that we have to face, but one that we can overcome. And we're reminded on this day of Passover just how powerful our Lord is and how able our Lord is to be able to destroy that which seems impossible to destroy and to ultimately set his people free. I want to play this piece here by Bishop Mary Emanuel from Egypt. I think you'll find it interesting.
You can marry the LGB and embrace the LGB. Well, go and embrace them. You son of a snake. We need to withstand persecution. Not give in. Not the flood of the world enters the church and then the church becomes worldly. Doing what the world wants, embracing what the world embraces, imitating what the world imitates, it is no longer a church, it's a den of thieves. It becomes a den of thieves. The church needs to be the light, not darkness. The church needs to speak the truth, not the lie. The church needs to reflect, represent Jesus Christ of Nazareth, not Satan. I'll step on Satan in Jesus' mighty name. And the hell with the world. Well, we want to bring the world back to the Lord. But for the world to come and impose, dictate things that are worldly to the church over my dead body. You only live once. I will never die a coward. Enough of this nonsense, man. Now I'm really upset now. Honestly, I don't know. What's happening in the world? Sick. Not the world. What's happening in the church is sick. I mean, the world has always been sick. But the church to be this sick, that is sickening. You can marry the LGB and embrace the LGB. Well, go and embrace them. You son of a snake. You're not enduring persecution. Where are you standing for the truth? When are you going to stand for the truth? When? And let me tell you this. We're all Christians. I don't care. You're Catholic, you're Orthodox, whatever. We're all Christians. When we see anywhere in Christendom something going wrong, we should all feel the pain, the hurt. Don't say, this is happening in the Catholic Church. I'm Orthodox. I don't care. No, you need to care. And you need to pray. And you need to ask the Lord Jesus to go and fix what's happening. Because the Catholic Church is another Christian branch. We need to ask the owner of the church to revive it, to replenish it, and to bring it back to her glorious days. That I have to, as a Christian, feel upset, angry, hurt, because it is my church as well. They are Christians like me. And even the Orthodoxy world. Stop being fanatics. Fanaticism is not good. It's not healthy. It's ugly. This is the only truth. We hold the truth. Oh, just get a life, man. You don't hold nothing. We have lost the true Christ. That's why the church is in turmoil. Blessed are you when you are being persecuted for my sake, I, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. For I will give you myself. Who is this soul? Which is the soul that will receive Christ as the reward? Blessed is this soul. This is what you call a saint. Endured all persecutions, tolerated them, and till the end remained faithful to the Lord Jesus. For at the end, the reward of that soul is God Himself. God will give you Himself as a reward. There is no greater reward than this. It surpasses all heavens when God becomes your gift. Surpasses all heavens. Surpasses all heavens.
Amen. Powerful words. A good man in this. And obviously he is recovering from his attack. He's staying a little bit off visible public eye right now, but he's continuing his message, which is powerful. And it's always the same, that at the core of all of this is love. We know intuitively within ourselves what is right and what is wrong. We understand intuitively when we walk with Jesus that there is a right and a wrong. There is a thing to do, and there is truth. There is absolute truth through God. The left and all that they represent, which roots back to this same satanic cult that's trying to conquer the world, it filters from high down to low. And it is, we arrive at a point in time of understanding that our education systems for decades now have been
subjugated and taken over from within by the concepts of what we would call Marxist communism, which is worse than anything in the world because it's godless in its core. It tries to subjugate everything that is Christian and turn it into mud, crush it under its own feet. And yet we are those people that are reminded of the power of David and Joshua. We should be reminded of the Joshua in the moment when he took out, we removed from the cave the five kings and had his captains put their feet on their neck to remind the kings that God will deal with you as I will deal with you now. And he kills all five kings. Passover is a day to be humbled and a time to be humbled by the power of the living God. The fact that the living God was able to free his people. We are all his children. We have been grafted in. There is no two-tier system in Christ. And in this time when we have a Zionist crew that is trying to convince us that somehow we are lesser than they, we have churches that actually speak out and tell their children and tell their congregations, we are lesser than Jews. This is a lie. It's blasphemous. It has nothing to do with the Christendom that we live in today, the post-Christ era, the era after crucifixion is what I should say. For we are all one in the body of Christ. And so this is a day to celebrate, a period to celebrate, a time to celebrate, and the power of our mighty God. And yet, we continue to not realize the duty and responsibility we have because we're literally soldiers in a fight against evil. This cabal that runs the world is small by comparison. They have infiltrated and strategically placed themselves. But there's one action that would end most of this overnight. And it all has to do with what we see every day, this relentless funding and exploitation of wealth from our nation to fund their operations around the globe. Defund the UN, defund Israel, and overnight these people become crippled. They'll rear their ugly head. They'll declare that this nation has become anti-Semitic by nature because that's what they do. They project everything on everybody else, knowing that they are the doers of evil. And yet again, we are at a moment here of exodus. God placed on my heart 5 years ago when we began this podcast to use the term Exodus 2.0. There's no biblical reference for that because it's different. We're in a time right now that's unique, but we are in an exodus once again. And it's an exodus that will require of us a discipline, a belief different than what they were in Egypt because there they were having to be convinced to believe in the God after years of slavery. There's a remnant now that's powerful. It continues to grow. And that remnant must be lifted. It must be empowered. And we must continue to lean into the glory of what Christ gave us. The words of Jesus that we have dominion over all evil. And even the reference that we have dominion over snakes and scorpions. That goes back to the Passover time of the cults of the scorpions and the snakes, which had to do with health, exterior and interior to the body. So we have to now step into those authorities once again, a mightier way to lean into a time in a world when this world is beginning to awaken to see that there's something not quite right. We have to become that voice of truth, that resolve of such great righteousness and fire that we literally can lean into this time and say, no evil shall pass. And today is that day. This week is this week. This time right now at Passover is a reminder of the power of our living God. A living God that told his people to mark their posts and lintels with the blood of the lamb in which they ate, and in so doing would pass over them to preserve their households, and yet removed every firstborn in a land of Egypt. Imagine the shock and the horror. Imagine the awakening of the power of a living God with that level of wrath. That's the God we serve. That is the God that is our Father. That is the God that loves us immensely. That is the God that has both love and wrath in it. And it's the God that we must learn to love and equally fear. To not be outside of him, but to be close within him. And that's what these days represent in a mighty way. Now I'm going to play a piece here, and I'm just going to give a warning. I'll read the warning in the piece, because I play this not to darken on Passover, but to build a resolve into the challenges in which we face and the horrors in which this cult has brought into the world. This post comes from Ian Carroll, and it's on X, and he begins with this comment. Warning, he says, extremely disturbing video. This is just an interview, by the way. It's no graphics. Do not watch if sensitive to satanic ritual abuse or harm to children. Anika Lucas was born into a global satanic cult, and he was ritually abused and tortured throughout his childhood. He met Jeffrey Epstein multiple times. He describes child cage matches he was forced to take part in, where children would fight to the death for a paying audience of wealthy elite celebrities, politicians, and whoever else was invited. It is clear from his testimony.
I was sold to a man that I knew as Louis Valou.
It is clear from his testimony that this is a vast and extremely powerful global network of satanic ritual abuse of children by at least the thousands. In other clips, he talks about the time of a breeding compound in Mexico. His repeated torture that disassociated his identity and his meeting of Jeffrey Epstein, as well as his journey towards freedom and eventually recovery. If you don't believe they could possibly be real, I encourage you to watch the entire episode, and I'll have Nikki put that up in our social media. And you may want to download it in case it mysteriously disappears from the internet. The implications of this are beyond massive and may force you to rethink more than a few scandals that have come out in light of the last 20 years. I am no expert in body language, but I see no signs of deception, and I see no reason for him to make up such horrific stories. Judge for yourself. Take a listen.
I was sold to a man that I knew as Louis Valou, and I feel okay using the name because I'm pretty sure it's a pseudonym. I very much doubt it's his legal name. But this guy named Louis Valou was essentially part of organized crime in Lower Manhattan in Chinatown. And he was one of my handlers growing up. And I had a very intense relationship with him on many levels. There was a period where he was grooming me essentially to take his position.
In the mafia then?
Essentially, I mean, I'm not totally clear on the details, but it's some aspect of the mafia or organized crime. And I had to do a lot of physical violence towards other children as part of his initiations. And some of that culminated in public death matches, cage matches with other children in Chinatown for paying audiences.
How would an audience, I mean, this must all be inside the network. I can't imagine that there'd be something like that anybody could ever figure out, and it's happening right downtown.
I'm imagining the invitations were very exclusive, yeah. I strongly doubt any random people would find out about it.
And what kind of places would this even happen in?
All sorts of venues.
Really?
I mean, to be honest, I was often drugged and blindfolded and taken to these places, so it's often hard to say where exactly they are. I know some of them are in wealthy enclaves outside the city, like in Westchester County, upstate a little bit. I was taken to places like that. But then there are also versions of it that happen right in Chinatown, you know, just in basements in Chinatown, which is, you know, it seems like just some sort of racist fantasy that someone would have, but it really does happen there.
And the idea that you would want to go and see two children fight to the death, that it could only be network where the people that are really in it and believe in it, they don't even see a child in a child. They don't even see what a child is. They just see creatures that are below them or something.
That's true. Yeah, like cock matches, like animals fighting, pretty much like that.
Except more exclusive.
More exclusive, more expensive, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you did tell me that you saw some prominent people present at some of these events.
Yeah. There are different politicians would show up sometimes, actors would show up sometimes. And a lot of the really wealthy people who are anonymous would show up, of course. Some of them, I still don't know their names, but people in positions of power within the cult. I've been thinking through, you know, different names and if I want to name people and
totally
all
fine
that stuff.
And we can cut it out if you change your mind also, that's okay. No problem. But also, let me ask you, is it like when we're talking about levels, right? Is it like on the local level? Is it on the state level? Is it on the national level? Is it on the international level?
It's on every level. Yeah. I saw people who I didn't necessarily know, but I understood them to be prominent people of other countries, international politicians and leaders, definitely. There are Catholics who participate in this practice.
You mean clergy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were Jesuits specifically. Many different kinds of. There were officials from abroad. Some of my ancestry is Hungarian, and there were people from who I understood to be some basically high-ranking Hungarian politicians who would be there, who were particularly interested in my career as a fighter, apparently. There seems to be a very established practice of these kinds of things. I almost died several times,
Of course.
Naturally.
Of course, yeah.
Had my scalp like ripped off of my head almost entirely and had to recover from that.
You mean you have weapons?
Usually not, but people are always sneaking things in, you know, little blades or poisons or, you know, even if you place restrictions on it, people are going to find ways around it. So, I was taken by surprise quite often. I'm just glad I'm still alive. Louis was very fond of needles, and he was an expert in manipulating these very small needles that could basically be hidden sort of under a fingernail usually, that could be very deadly. So there were quite a few weapons, but they were concealed.
This is a practice that is not limited to fantasy. This is a practice that's part of the elite and those that rule the worlds and rule the country in which we live. As he said, it goes from high to low. And it's time that we start to face the reality of the depth of this corruption and the target of what they are. They seek to destroy God's children, and in so doing, so enslave permanently all of God's children, both the young and the old. And so again, we're at a point of Exodus 2.0. It's a time in which we live and the choices that we make. And these choices that we make are rooted deeply in our faith and our belief in Christ. They work very hard at creating this class of people that are outside of God. This is the LGBTQ. This is the children that are put through transgender modifications. These are the people that regularly see abortion as a part of healthcare. This is the music industry. These are the lures that they make of people that worship money over God. The infusion of idols everywhere they can, from sports to movie stars to musicians. It is constantly a designed mechanism and system to create a matrix of false idol worship and its other than God existence, and trying to constantly push the idea that there is a chosen people. Those chosen people would be known as the Jews, in which the churches regularly tell their congregations, not all, but churches do tell their congregations that they are lesser than, that the Israelites are somehow greater in God. These are the lies. These are the concept of subduing a great people, God's children, and making them weak and believing that we have no power. And yet this week, starting with last night, the Passover is a reminder of how great our God is, how loving our God is, and how much he loathes and hates this enemy. Love what God loves, hate what God hates, and live by it. There is so much undoing of propagandized training that has to be done, and it's only but God that can do that. But it's also a process which he relies on his children. He relies on those that hear his voice and trust in him to continue forth that mission. It's the Gideons, the 300 that ultimately slays the legions. And they do so because of their true faith in him and their ability and willingness to say, yes, God, in a time when he says, blow horns and break pots of light. And for the outside, that would seem ridiculous and almost worthless in an effort. And yet those actions, because they said yes to God, gave the power to overcome the legions of armies. We have that available to us now.
This is not something new. It's been there. It's our belief in him. It's our strength in him. It's our commitment to follow that which Christ gives us. And at the core of all of this is the understanding of how precious that asset that he gives us, that gift that he gives us of children is, and how delinquent we are as a people in protecting it. The unwillingness for people to hear these testimonies and to question, is this guy really telling the truth? Could he be a plant to try to make us believe something false? This isn't really that bad happening to children. Yes, it is. It's horrific. And the cries and screams of every child are heard in heaven. But somehow they don't fall under our hearts. But we go deafly through life and don't hear those beckoning calls for help. Nothing more than a child wants is to be saved and loved. It's a gift to this world that God gives us to steward, to protect, above all. You can't enter the kingdom unless you have a heart of a child. And if you don't have the heart to protect a child, how can you have a heart of a child? Our words are powerful. Our prayers are mighty. And the truth has to be spoken, and we have to pray into these principalities to destroy them. We have to pray. And for those that continue to find this joy or pleasure or benefit of whatever, financial or sexual or both, of exploiting children, I will speak these words, because tonight we will speak them, asking God to give us the mantle of Elijah and Elisha. May you be cursed to hell for touching children. May you find yourself now cursed in everything you do, your finances, your life, your family. Be it cursed for generations for having harmed the little ones. For on this day, this days of Passover, may we be reminded that God has no patience for that level of evil. And he will remove that evil as he removed the firstborn from this world. So let us honor the power and glory of our God in this Passover period. Let us honor and the glory of what he's given us as the children of the Most High. And let us honor the mantles and the power and authority which he gave us to steward this world post-crucifixion. We serve our Lord and Jesus, and through Jesus Christ to our Father. And let us not forget that ever. And let us never doubt. Let us never walk in shame. And let us never have fear. For those are the pillars of the enemy that we must smote and destroy to stand mighty in this hour to overcome all that is which is before us. And at the end, it's always the same thing. Free the children, preserve their innocence, save the children from the hand of evil, and do so at the cost of our own lives if necessary. There is so much good in humanity, and we get so lost into the ideological confusion and propagandized methods of teaching and the belief systems that are so false that we don't hear the true voice of the living God. Seek his face, sit, be still, and hear his voice, and let him guide you in all things. For in that there is a love that's beyond anything we can understand, that destroys all that is evil, exposes the darkness to light. It takes the darkness and its ugliness and its death, and it rids it of this world. And our greatest weapon, again, is the sword of the Spirit. For it's through that that we wage war against a true evil, and we will always be victorious when we stand with God. Patriots, let's pray. Father God, we are humbled tonight in the memory and the history and the stories of Passover, the mightiness that you are as our Father and our God, the wrath which you can deliver, and the love which you hold as you remind us in the story of Passover, as the pillars and the lintels were marked with the blood of the Lamb, to feast, to have their families preserved as the firstborns were removed, to shock that nation to its knees, to ultimately be brought to its will to release your children and set them free. Father, we now live in a time, only the words that you could give, the Exodus 2.0, a time in which we are breaking free from yet another enslavement, but this one's global. This one's dark. This one's using the cover of names and titles in our books of faith and religion to try to convince us that there is an elite group of people which we all must serve, that they are somehow greater than us, greater than anyone else, and that we are subordinate to them, that we are nothing more than their cattle. So, Father, I ask this evening for the mantle of Elijah and Elisha, and may we treat these that run this world like the 400 prophets of Baal that could not produce the miracle of an altar fire while Elijah could. And may we be handled in the same way, to be gathered by the people and to all of them be removed, to be killed for their insolence and disobedience to you. Father, we pray into this time like David stood before Goliath, that we carry the 5 stones and yet have the faith to know that it only took 1 stone to take down the giant, but yet to follow through with the promise that we shall cut off its head. May we stand now as the children of the Most High, as Joshua brought his captains up, as he pulled out the 5 captains or the 5 kings from the cave that were hiding. And he had his captains place their foot on their neck to remind them that you would destroy them for being so insolent to try to be gods on this earth. Father, we pray into the hearts of children, and we pray in tonight, and we declare upon them to hear the voice that we are coming, that you are not forgotten, that you're loved. And that we make this commitment tonight for all that are called to step in and say we will do all within our power of prayer and action in the world, works and faith, to preserve and protect these children, to protect their innocence and to rescue them from the darkness. And may those that handle them and manipulate them, abuse them and traffic them, understand that on this night, on this day, in this very moment, we declare again with the mantle of Elijah and Elisha, with the authorities to speak a curse upon them, that they shall themselves be cursed the rest of their life for the destruction that they're doing to the little ones. And we declare all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, let us celebrate Passover for the greatness that it is. Let us cast out any of the remnants of those things of Easter that only celebrate the murder of children with the dipping of eggs in blood. Let us return to the fundamentals of what we are. We're Christians. We're children of the Most High. Our Lord and Savior is Jesus Christ, and through Christ to our Father. And we have a God that is above all gods. He's a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath. He's a God of war. Let us not forget that we are in a war. And in that moment, celebrate this day, these days now, understanding that our God is still at war, and we are part of his army fighting this evil, and we will remove it and held it accountable in the courts of heaven. Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We're at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tomorrow morning for Bended Knee. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, good night, thank you, and out for now.
Oh, I wanna feel something. I just wanna breathe again. Dive into the deep.